I like Quentin.
All right, we want to... All right, welcome into another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. Today we talk a little Chiefs Bears, including Andy Reid, the matchmaker, the sky's the limit, and head out to the AFC West. My name is Quentin Morris, and now a guy who needs to listen to my Justin Ross takes, the old man, JP.
Suck it. I love Justin Ross. How you doing, man?
All right. We got a lot to get to here. Want to thank Thiz for producing the show, and
absolutely.
You want to just head into it?
Yeah, let's go. Hey, what's up, Scott? What's up, Will? Glad to see you guys on the show.
All right, what's our first topic that we want to get to now? We got a full show.
We got the D don't need Viagra.
Hey, you know what? This was actually going to be one of my hot takes for the night. I'm going back and forth as whether or not I think it's a hot take or not. Because I think when I say it, a lot of people are just going to agree with me. I think that this is going to be the best defense under the Andy Reid era. And that includes the Justin Houston, Eric Berry, Tom Bailey defense. I want to include this might be the best defense that I've ever seen as a Chiefs fan. And I just want to remind people that Eric Berry, Justin Houston, and Tom Bailey played on this defense at the same time.
Okay, I will agree with you to a degree. I think the best – I mean, I will agree with you under the Andy Reid era, absolutely. There's not going to be – I don't see how it can be any better than what it's going to be this year.
Yeah.
I put them in the last show in the show before, and actually on the PSF live stream, I've got them coming in top two by the end of the season.
Right.
And right now I think they're ranked fourth after this last game, maybe third, DVOA. But
yeah,
they're strong. I mean, they're absolutely strong.
And I want to even add on to that. I think by the end of the year, Trent McDuffie is going to be a name known around the NFL. We saw him get the interception, right? And one of the things that, you know, has sort of been a problem with Trent McDuffie getting on that national stage, unlike a Tariq Woolen or a Sauce Gardner, is that he doesn't get those interceptions, right? Yes. And in order to be a star corner, one of the things you have to do is you have to get turnovers. Those are highlight plays. You know, the reason why the highlight wide receivers are the way they are is because they go up and make flashy plays. Well, your normal NFL fan doesn't care about passes, you know, batted down or simply just good coverage, right? Those don't make highlights. It's the interceptions that do. Interceptions come in bunches. And if this defense starts to get that trend rolling, I think Trent McDuffie is going to be a big part of that. And Trent McDuffie is going to become a guy that by the
He's
end
going
of
to become
the
year, a highlight reel.
He really is. I do think that moving forward. Look, we've got he plays quarterback coming up on Sunday. And we'll talk about more on the Thursday show when the Chiefs take on the Jets. But I think that Trent McDuffie by the bye week could have, you know, three more interceptions.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. He's got a very high football IQ, and I use that term a lot. And that's just simply because I've been around so many players that either have it or they don't. He has it. He reads offenses very well. For somebody so young, he actually, even last year, towards the end of the year, you could really see that in him. And now he's just got it down to where it's almost an art. He's gelling with his own mind. And that's a hard thing to do. If you can gel with your own mind and your own intelligence, then you're scary. You're a scary force. And that's what he's doing right now.
Right.
I love this kid. I actually love everybody in our secondary, but he is a standout, unbelievably strong standout player. And I got to give a shout out to Justin Reid too, because he had a really good game last week. So, but Trent McDuffie, absolutely. He's just going to be a household name. And every team in the league is going to want him. And that's the guy, sorry, but when his time comes for a contract, If he hasn't had any injuries, we're not going to be talking about, oh, is he going to get traded? Is he done? Veach will not. He's finally liking these corners. He's liking the fact that he can draw from these corners and do what he needs to do with these corners. Where, if you remember, he was all about the safeties 4 years, 5 years ago. He didn't really care so much about the corners as he did the safeties. Now he's kind of done a flip. And he realized that, you know, you have to have solid lockdown corners and a couple of ball hawks. And he's got that with the group that he's got right now.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see from a team building perspective what they do. We see that the Chiefs under the Veach era have gone out multiple times and have spent a ton of money at the safety position. And like I brought this up and I'll keep bringing it up. I don't think Snead is back on this team next year. But the first, I think, superstar, because I do think that if McDuffie keeps this up, you know, for another 2 years and then the fifth year option, if he keeps this up, I do think that you could probably put him in that superstar position. He'll be the first defensive back superstar that Veach has drafted. And it'll be interesting to see how your development changes and how you want to look at building the defensive backfield, because all of your, you know, the draft is a lottery. So you scratch off all these lottery tickets. You finally got one that hits, and it's at one of the most premium positions in the NFL, one of the most difficult positions in the NFL. And you have one that can be, you know, one of the best at their position, young and effective. So, you know, what are you going to do from that? But, you know, we can talk about that in the offseason. I just want to point out that they talked about this a lot on the broadcast, and I think it's important for us to bring it up again. This is the youngest defense in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And
by far the youngest.
The fact that they are this good, this early, everything says they shouldn't be this good. Yeah. The Steve Spagnuolo effect, where, like, everything about a Steve Spagnuolo defense says it takes time to gel. It's going to take, you know, week 8, 9, 12, whatever, is when they're going to peak out. This year's been different. And I think it's because you've got all these guys that are super young, super athletic. I think you can finally say that this is a Veach defense, because up until then, he was still using a ton of old pieces.
Yeah.
But now, what, the only guy that's left on this team is Chris Jones?
Yeah, Chris Jones.
So, I mean, which is a huge piece, but the fact that this is a Brett Veach defense built for Spagnuolo now, I think you can just see it all coming together to this being the best defense under the Andy Reid era and even before that.
I, you know, also add to that, you brought in a really good secondary coach, and you brought in, we got rid of Sam Madison, which was a problem, and you got one of the best D-line coaches in football. In fact, probably the best D-line coach in football, and Joe Cullen. And I think if you mesh everything together, I mean, I remember, you know, 5 years ago talking on this show about give it time, don't worry, the guys need to gel, watch what happens at week 8. We start off 31st, we end up 17th, we end up 23rd. Now we're week 3 and we're 4th overall, maybe 3rd. That's insane, because we didn't expect that. Honestly, no one, I don't think anyone expected that, first of all, because of the younger players, but second of all, out of Steve Spagnuolo. But you add these other coaches in that have a little bit more pizzazz, a little bit more trust in their players. I think it's just everybody's gelling very well.
Yeah.
Let me ask, it's just going to continue.
Is this the best defense in the AFC?
Yes.
Because I think the teams in front of you are probably Eagles, Niners, Cowboys.
Correct. And I think this is the best in the AFC.
This is the best defense in the AFC with the best quarterback and the best offensive coach. And you just start to see how all of this is going to come together. And you're 2-1.
Correct. And we don't know. Now, listen, right now they're the best in the AFC. There may be stats out there that say we're probably better than maybe another defense in the NFC right now, one of the three that you mentioned.
Yeah.
But come week 6 or 7, the narrative is going to switch. It's going to change. I'm telling you, book it right now. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a shit. This is going to be the best top 2 defense, if not the number 1 defense in football. by the end of the season. That's how I feel. And I feel like they're going to win some games for us. They're going to help these young wide receivers.
I'd argue they already have.
They have. They absolutely have.
The defense won us that Jacksonville game.
They absolutely did. They absolutely did. Of course, you know, the Chicago game was a debacle. You can't really say much about that as far as the Chicago team is concerned. And I'm not – there's a lot of people putting the blame on Justin Fields. I am not going to do that. I still think he's a quality quarterback that has a lot of talent. He's just not – his best ball was played with Matt Nagy. He hasn't been good since. That organization, the Moonies themselves, are very weird. And they just don't put a lot of faith and trust in their front office or their coaching staff. And they're frugal when it comes to their coaches. So when you put all those things together, you have a bad football team. And you can go back. Dude, you can go back. And the best football team the Bears have had was the 85 Bears. They haven't really done squats since then.
Yeah.
So, and what coach did they have? Okay, it was Mike Ditka. You're not going to, you know, he was a great coach for them. I'm not saying he was a great coach for everyone, but he was a great coach for that football team. They've never had a great quarterback. Never. I think Justin Fields, and I'm going to say this, and people can hate on me all day long, I think he's the best quarterback they've had, even better than McMahon. McMahon wasn't a great quarterback. He was mediocre with a pair of sunglasses and couldn't sing very well.
I don't know, man. See, remember how I said you're old? I wasn't there yet, so I can't.
I know you weren't, but I watched him, and he was not good. That defense won them everything. Similar to the Trent Dilfer situation with the Baltimore Ravens. The guy threw for 84 yards in a Super
Bowl. Baltimore Ravens or Baltimore Colts?
Cool. It was the Ravens. Smart ass. there's no difference between those two. I mean, Dilfer was not a great quarterback. He was a quality backup. But he won a Super Bowl throwing for 84 yards because they had one of the best defenses in football. In fact, that year it was the best defense in football. But then you look at the flip side of that and look at the Rams when they went to their Super Bowl run, through their little Super Bowl runs with Kurt Warner. They were putting up 50 points a game because their defense wasn't that great.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have the best of both worlds right now. We really do.
I mean, one last thought before we move on to our next topic is simply, look, we've been talking about this and usually in context with Josh Allen. We've been saying if Patrick Mahomes had a top five defense like Josh Allen did, then you would just pencil in the Chiefs for the Super Bowl. And yeah. I think we're heading in that direction now. And as long as, you know, this offense continues to do the things that we're doing, there's no way to stop this Chiefs defense. There's no way to stop this Chiefs team unless they do something where they just, you know, turnovers and do a bunch of stupid stuff. The Chiefs can only lose to themselves.
Exactly. They can only beat themselves. And Scott, I forgot you were as old as I am. So you remember this. They did have an amazing running back. There was no better running back in football. I mean, it just is what it is. It was him and the defense. That's who won. That's who was the Chicago Bears in 1985. Okay. Now, moving on to the next topic, I guess. Andy Reid, the matchmaker. Now, how about this? I put this up on Twitter because I thought it was hilarious. Andy has changed so much. I have to say, this man, he's got that dry humor that just – and he's just transcended into such a different coach. What's up, Chiefs Live? He's fun to be around. Just – I think Patrick has changed him. And I know people are going to say I'm crazy, but I think he's changed him. I think Travis Kelce has changed him. The chemistry that those two guys have along with the rest of the crew has just made Andy an easygoing guy that just loved to have fun. And yeah, this is fun for him.
It's easy to have fun when you don't got to stress about anything. You know, we've all been at work where it's not the work that sucks. It's the coworkers that do.
Yeah.
And so you dread going to work, not because you hate what you do, but you hate the people that you work with.
Exactly.
But then those days where you get to work with, you know, your friend or the person that's like exactly like you, and you're just, you know, you're just killing it at work and you don't even have to talk to them and you know what they're going to do. And so those days go by super fast. That's what it's like having Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce running your offense. Absolutely. You don't got to do anything. Instead, you can practice snow globing and pull that against the Raiders.
Snow globing and corn dogging. I mean, that's, you know.
Clip that.
I don't. It's to me. I think they've. It's so crazy. I spent a lot of time with that team prior to the Andy Reid era. And I don't remember a time that the offense or the defense got along so well. And I've told this to many people in the past. I've talked to people about this. Even JJ and the rest of us have talked about it on the show that played for that team. My first encounter was an offensive player hitting a defensive player in the head with a helmet in practice. And I
Miles Garrett on him.
Yeah. And I looked at Derek and I said, "Hey man, the hell?" He goes, "What?" I said, "Why did you just hit him with that helmet?" He goes, "We hate each other during the week. We're all brothers on Sunday, but during the week, we're two different football teams." I don't remember a practice that there wasn't some type of a scrim, some type of a fight between offense and defense. Sometimes you had a kicker that got in the middle of it somehow. Now we just don't have that. Mahomes and Andy have brought continuity to the entire football team. They all hang out. They all go to places together. They all love each other. It's so different than anything I've ever been around. And I know I'm older, and it's hard for me to comprehend because I couldn't comprehend it then when I watched it happen. But seeing it over and over and over again for 15 years, it was very easy for me to go, okay, well, that's normal. This is not normal. Today's NFL is still fighting each other in practices. Josh Allen fought with his own offensive lineman. We don't see that. Oh, and by the way, I want to bring this up really quick. Somebody brought up, made a stupid comment on Twitter about Travis Kelce abusing Taylor Swift because he grabbed Coltrane by the face mask during practice and got into a little bit of an argument with them. What I want you to understand is that was a stupid comment, but also that player had been told 50 or 60 times, do not try to strip the ball in practice against these guys. If you're going to do it against the fours. Do it amongst yourselves. Practice on the sidelines by yourself doing it. Don't do it in a scrimmage game in practice, a 7-on-7 or an 11-on-11. And he did it anyway. So Kelce was just pissed. He was tired of the kid not listening. So anybody that wants to say Kelce's abusive or he is, you know, he's argumentative in practice, that's the second time in his 11-year career that he's gotten into an argument with anybody in practice. And it was for good reason. So the comment was stupid. You know, it was just some troll putting it out because he's dating Taylor Swift, whatever. It is what it is. But I wanted to make that very clear because I asked around about it, and that's what I was told by numerous people within the organization, that Coltrane was told numerous times to stop, and he wouldn't stop. And that's why it happened. At some point, you hit somebody's breaking point, their boiling point, and that's what he hit with Kelce that day, and he was in a bad mood. Let's just leave it at that. Okay. But Andy Reid, when they asked about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce dating, he said, well, I introduced the two. I matched them up. Okay. I thought that was phenomenal.
No, the one that had the best comment was Bill Belichick.
What did he say? I didn't hear that one.
Bill Belichick said that it's the best catch that Travis Kelce has had in his career.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Bill Belichick's a Swiftie.
Where do you, I mean, Belichick has zero personality. And for that to come out of him,
and
it's like, wow.
Come up with something so, like, I mean, so snappy. And like,
that's a zinger. I mean, that's zinger material right there. That's an absolute zingerooski. I can't believe Belichick said that. That's funny. I mean, yeah. Wow, unbelievable. Anyway, I thought it was very, very awesome that Andy is so involved with this team and so relaxed with this football team that he's able to make jokes like that, because you usually don't see coaches do those types of things.
It's easy,
especially
to
older coaches,
do that when you're constantly winning. You know,
that's true too. But it's, you know, he's under a little bit of pressure this year, and I say that just simply because there's been so much talk about the younger wide receivers and how the first game went, and You know, the second game, they stepped it up a little bit. They looked a little bit better. The third game, which we talked about from week one on, that they were going to gel, take it easy, everybody calm down. We didn't need to go out and sign a wide receiver immediately. None of that needed to happen. And what? I think we might have been right about that, because they looked pretty damn good. Regardless if you're playing a bad football team or not, to put up 40 burger at halftime was pretty good.
And yeah,
if
we want to just go over our final thoughts on the Bears game, because I've had a couple days to process it now, like we all have. And the thing is that, like, you can't take a ton away overall from that game. Like, of course, the Chiefs were going to win, right? But also, good teams win like that.
Yes.
You know, good teams don't play a game like the Bears and win 23-17. Good teams, like, don't play a team like the Bears and have the lead, you know, and take the lead with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and all of a sudden make it a two-score game by kicking a field goal, right? Like, that's not what good teams do. The teams like Kansas City blow the doors off of you. And, you know, they don't let you even sniff a victory, especially when there is no star power for the Bears. Now, we're facing the Jets this week. And, you know, the Jets, while their quarterback, I'm pretty sure I can play at the same level as he is right now, their defense is good. You know, so there's a chance that the Chiefs offense is going to struggle a little bit on the offensive side. That's because they have a ton of talent on the defense, right? And we can talk about that on Thursday. But the things that I just wanted, the final thoughts I have on that game is, it's not just the defense. It's, I feel like the offensive line outside of Juwan Taylor, the stupid crap with Juwan Taylor, this offensive line is gelled, and the run game. And just how the holes were when Pacheco was running the ball. I mean, there was holes on the left side of the line, the right side of the line, up the middle. I swear the Chiefs could have just kept running the ball like it was Marty ball, and they would have won the game by 28. I mean, the holes were just so big, and I think that, you know, this offensive line has been built to pass block because Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, but this offensive line can run block too. It can move some guys.
It can. And I will say this, after what Andy said, look, I was actually surprised that Andy, I guess, even mentioned it, but he's doubled down on it now.
That surprised me. Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, I tweeted out when I was listening to the press conference live, and I couldn't believe my ears when I heard
Look, man, hey, you know what? He's finally fucking fed up with it. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's getting old, okay? When he lined up 79 and 74, and I swear to God, you could have put a laser on their back foot, and they wouldn't have been a millimeter off, and they called Taylor. That's when I knew, and that's why Andy did what he did. He lined him up exactly like that, and I said this before his presser. I said he did that on purpose. And then he made it very clear that that's basically what he did. Without saying that's what he did. And for him to come out and say, it's getting old, it's getting tiring, it's very frustrating, they need to get their shit together. That says a lot, because Andy, what is his famous line when they ask him about the refs? I don't want to get fined.
Or, he did, you know, not it's give a shit. Like, we got to get better, or, you know, we can't sit here and blame, you know, the refs. It's on us. That's sort of coach speak. And when Andy Reid does everything but call out the refs by name in his press game conference, then the following day he gets a follow up question that says, "Hey, did you get a look at the film? What did you think?" And he doubles down on it.
Yeah.
When Andy Reid does that, you know there is a problem.
Exactly.
And all of this was because Juwan Taylor did it in prime time, and the whole football world lost their damn mind. I think that you make an example out of it during the Jacksonville game, and everybody moves on with their lives. But for some reason, the NFL refs are just holding on to this, and it's ridiculous, because this is not just a Chiefs problem. left and right tackles do this all over the league. The Eagles tackles do this. The 49ers tackles do. Like, this is the quick set or the moving of the feet is not a false start. Read the rule book. You're allowed to kick that foot back as long as that foot doesn't hit the ground before the ball is snapped. So it looks like that he's moving early, but he's not, because that ball is snapped while his foot is in the air.
Exactly.
And the hole he's lining up incorrectly, his helmet has to be lined up with the center of Creed. So there, it's just nitpicky.
It is. It is. And it's targeting. And look, man, Andy even said it in the second presser. He said, if you're going to do this to him, you better do it to everybody else in the league.
And they're not. They're not even doing it to both the tackles on the Chiefs.
No, they're not. They're specifically going after Taylor. And I can tell you, when it started in the Detroit game and they made a big deal about it, and then, you know, Doug Peterson, of course, flipped the script because he didn't give a shit when he was doing it for him.
Because it's not illegal.
Exactly. But then he made a big deal about it. You know, then Doug Peterson made a big deal about it in the Jacksonville game. So it's just got to stop. I mean, at some point it has to end. There's shit that happens in every game, but you can't target one player, especially an $80 million player, and say, oh, by the way, we're just going to target your best offense or your most expensive offensive lineman and make him look like the bad guy. That's bullshit.
Yeah, because there are now there are Chiefs fans out there that think that he's doing something wrong when he's not.
When he's not. When he's not. Absolutely. Because, I'm sorry, it's not any bash against Chiefs fans. If you don't know, don't say it. But
well,
he's not doing anything wrong.
And you know, now you've taken a touchdown off the board, right? That MVS touchdown
two
was taken off the board because of an illegal formation. Sidebar rant here. If it's an illegal formation, call the play dead, like every other pre-snap penalty. I'm so tired of there being flags thrown on illegal formations, and you don't just call the play dead there. But whatever. I just think that we just need to move forward with it, and I'll be interested to see what happens this week against the Jets, because, you know, the Jets do have a good pass rush. You know, this is a team that you need to be prepared to play for, and I don't want to see it anymore. Stop it.
I don't either. It has to end now. And it's two different ref crews have done this to him two weeks in a row. And it just has to stop. It's time to end it. The NFL needs to step in and say, hey, quit fucking with this kid, and let's just move forward. Because if you piss off Andy and you piss off Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs organization, then you got a whole new bag of problems that you don't want, because they're a very classy organization that normally doesn't say a damn thing. But now they're saying it. And when Andy has proof of it with the laser foot that he did, the laser lineup, and he says, here, why did you just call the one guy? And then probably pulled up film from, you know, 15 other players that do the same shit. Why aren't they being called? Why are you targeting Taylor? What did he do to you? Who did he piss off? Just tell us, you know?
I think it's just because everybody was freaking out during the first game of the season, and they're just trying to make a point, and it's just gone too far.
It's absolute bullshit. But anyway, moving on. Next topic. What do we got? Oh, Travis, back to 100%. He made it very clear he is. He looked pretty damn good in the game.
Yeah, he looked pretty good right now. He's on his convertible, too.
Yes, he did.
Look, this game shows you, and once again, I know it's against the Bears, but it shows you the power of having an elite offensive receiver. Yeah. Is that, you know, him and Mahomes, like we talked about, are synced up. They're able to do things that other players aren't, just because not just their talent level, but they just know each other and know what each other need. And when Travis Kelce's out there to run, you know, to beat those zones, to run the routes that just somehow finds him open no matter what, and then he's able to catch and run with the ball, there's nobody better. So they sat him out, you know, and it hurt us in week one. But I do feel like that he wasn't on a pitch count against the Bears. He was out there. He had his touchdown. And I don't feel like he was very, you know, limpy or slow after the play. I think after the Jacksonville game, You could kind of see that it was still bothering him a little bit. Not enough to, you know, take him out of the game, but enough to where you sort of, you felt that he wasn't running at full speed, right? When, after he, up to the line, after he would catch the ball, it just felt like something was missing. That wasn't like that during the Bears game. I think he's back at 100%. I think that's fair, or at least as 100% as you can be as an NFL football player in week three.
Yeah, and to go along with that, he's been on two different shows this week. He was on the Pat McAfee show, and Pat flat out asked him, are you really 100%? He said, absolutely. I feel nothing. He said, that's ancient history. He said, I feel no pain. I feel nothing. I don't even think about it. See? Then he, weirdly enough, he went on Christian Cavallari's podcast and talked to her for a long time. About, it wasn't just about his injury. It was about weird things. That really didn't really have anything to do with football. It was more about her podcast and the questions she had in a man's mind and different things of that nature. But he's getting around a lot more as a player and a personality. He's now dating a billionaire in Taylor Swift. I hope she doesn't break his heart to write a song.
Catchy Kelsey, name of the album.
Yeah. They did talk about that, actually, weirdly enough, on that Christian Cavallari interview. They talked about his show and how it worked out for him and, you know, what he thought about it. And he said he knew pretty much after day two that there was absolutely nothing there with any of the girls that were there, but it was a show. He was contracted. Let's have fun. Let's finish it out. He said, we were doing a lot of things that you'd never catch me doing, you know, as far as going out to certain places, going to certain dinners, you know, just different things that they set up for him. But he made mention of it and he made light of it, that it was fun for him. His brother gave him shit and some of the locker room guys gave him shit after that, like it was nobody's business, and he enjoyed it. He thought it was fun, but, he is back to 100%. I think, you know, if anything, maybe this stint with Taylor Swift will get him more rejuvenated, make him feel a little bit younger. He just looks good, man. And here, to your point, Quentin, when he's on the field, it relaxes every other wide receiver on that field. It makes everybody more comfortable because they know that he's there. It's just his presence. And I know people don't some people may not understand that, but his presence alone makes you more comfortable while you're out on that field. It's no different. You know, he's a leader. And when you're a leader and you have that aura around you and everybody's kind of like you're their security blanket to a degree while you're young and learning, that just makes guys play better.
Yeah.
It makes them a little more relaxed.
It's like, you know, young quarterbacks need a good run game. You know,
absolutely.
A good quarterback needs to have a guy. Doesn't have to be a tight end. It, you know, it needs to be a veteran guy who has the ability to just always find a way to get open. When it's third and six, you're going to get seven. You know,
yes,
that's the kind of guy that every team needs, every good quarterback needs, every elite quarterback needs. It's just a guy that you can depend on, that when you need to hit that 2-minute drive to get that game scoring touchdown, that game tying field goal, he's the guy that you can turn to in 13 seconds to kick a field goal.
That's right. That's right. I don't think there's any more to say about Travis. I mean, he's ready. He's ready to go.
What a hell of a year.
Good God.
Super Bowl winning, you know, wins a Super Bowl, gets on SNL, goes on in a crazy media tour, gets to now is dating the most popular female artist in the world.
Yeah, probably ever.
Yeah.
I mean,
crazy. What a crazy life.
It must be tough.
A podcast and is like immediately the best sports podcast.
Oh, and by the way, if anybody wants to know, he has 1.2 billion, a million followers on his podcast now. 1.2 million
followers. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, I don't think there's anything more to say. He's back. He's going to do very well the rest of the season. I don't think we're going to see any problems out of him. And I just see the team gelling a lot more with him on the field. even if he's not on the field, I think they're going to gel a lot more, but they're already showing it. On to the next topic. The more they improve, it means the sky is the limit. We know what that's about. That's about our man, Sky Moore. Sky Moore is a great player. Everybody needs to get off his back as well. He's had a couple of drops in his NFL career, but he is a solid player all the way around, can get open, makes hard contested catches, got great hands, great vision, and he's learning how to play with Mahomes. And that's not an easy thing to do. What's your thoughts on Sky Moore?
Look, this is a guy that I know had his rookie struggles last year, even more than just the punt game with punting, and I don't even want to get that much into it. We all know that it was a struggle. I think that he is starting to become a guy that I think Patrick Mahomes can depend on, yeah. Right? These first couple of games were always going to be who can Patrick Mahomes turn to throw the ball to. When Kadarius Toney and Travis Kelce aren't in the first game, what are we going to do? And I think slowly but surely we've seen Sky Moore start to become more involved in the deep passing game, which is something that I didn't expect, right? We've seen him take a couple of big catches. And the more you can depend on a guy like Sky Moore, the better you're off. Another guy that I think Kansas City has turned to, Rashee Rice. Right?
Absolutely.
He got so close to scoring two touchdowns.
Poor guy, man.
Is this going to be one of those things where he's like going to get so close to the end zone like 10 times and then just not find the end zone? Is that what we're going to do?
I hope not. I don't think so. I think he'll get there. I think it was just one of those things that it just happened in that game, you know, yeah. But
I think Rashee Rice and Sky Moore to me are very similar. I just think that Rice to me is way ahead of schedule from my perspective, because yeah. If you remember, some people, not to name any names, but I was a Rashee Rice hater because I said that he was going to get off to the slow start and I'm not sure what production he's going to have this year. And my,
yeah, you said he was going to have like 100 yards and no touchdowns or something.
My argument for that was no rookie receiver has had 1,000 yards under Andy Reid, going back to DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, right? And I don't think the opportunities are going to be there. Now we've got an injury to Richie James.
Yeah,
Bryce, I think, is going to take that role of doing a lot of the over the middle stuff that James was brought in to do. So I think more opportunities are going to be there. And one of the reports that flew under the radar, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this, is that they were not teaching Rice all three wide receiver positions. They were only teaching him the one. He was just focusing on the slot. If you notice, he hasn't played outside. He's just working out of the slot. I think that has been a huge impact. Maybe Andy Reid learned from last year that, look, some of these guys coming from some of these smaller schools, you can't teach them all three positions at once. Let's focus on one. Let's focus on the one I know you're going to be good at. This is most like what you did in college. Let's focus on that and worry about the rest later. I think that's why Rice has gotten off to such a good start, because they're like, hey, you were a slot guy in college. Let's put you in my slot offense. That's more complicated. But when you learn that, everything else becomes so much easier. That's why Rice has been so impactful in this offense and why I think he's been a much faster developing wide receiver than Sky Moore.
I agree. They did throw a lot at Sky Moore last year. They had him everywhere. You know, they had him outside. They had him inside. They on the left, on the right. I agree with you 100%. I believe Andy realized that, okay, let's take this one step at a time when you have basically an entire core of wide receivers that are fairly young, with the exception of, you know, MVS and Kelce, of course. Everybody else is fairly young in this, and most of them, almost all of them, are new in the system except for Sky Moore. So you have to ease him into it. And he's producing in the position that he's comfortable in. Now you get past this season, he does very well. Next year you work on playing him on the outside. Maybe you put him on the slot on the opposite side of the field. Maybe just keep him as your slot receiver because he's so fucking good at it.
Yeah.
You just don't know yet, you know? But I agree with you. I think that's exactly what Andy did, and it was a smart move all the way around. And I think everything else will come a lot easier, especially playing on the outside is a little more difficult when you come into the NFL with some of these hardcore outside corners that can just really lock you down.
Yeah, you're right. And it's harder to scheme up things on the outside.
Absolutely.
On the inside, you can do way more motion, and you can scheme up way more open, you know, middle of the field stuff than you can on the outside.
Absolutely. And he's learned the playbook really quickly for his position or what they've got him in, I should say. And I think he's just going to excel. He's just going to continue to grow. I can't see how he couldn't end up being at least an 800-yard guy this year, the way he started off. I can see that very well happening. I think they're going to, you know, there's still some outside chatter about MVS, and, you know, they think that he's not that great. MVS is a very good wide receiver. Give him his, you know, it's the third week of the season. Mahomes has been dialing it up more this in the first 3 weeks than he did, God, in the first six last year. He didn't go deep a lot last year compared. I think he had four passes over 40 yards last year, if I'm not mistaken. And this year he's already went deep three or four times, five times maybe.
The way that defenses are playing the Chiefs differently this year.
Yeah.
Because remember last year they went immediately into that, you know, cover, the drop eight, rush three, you know, those deep cover. And so, you know, Kansas City's found a way to work around that through their struggles last year. So.
And that's the funny part, Quentin. It's so funny because the year prior to that, they went to the two high safety shell, and that shut down Tyreek. It did a lot of different things, hurt the team in different ways. But then you turn around and you look at what last year they made some adjustments. They did very well. They went down to the started throwing the checkdowns, doing different things. It worked out really well. Sorry, I got a bunch of dogs in the background barking for some reason. But this year they've changed it up again because of who they have. And they've made changes in every aspect of the game. Mahomes' defenses have decided to play them differently because of the players that they have. And that's helping us. That's all it's doing is helping us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, I think Sky Moore is going to get better. Rice, man, I know I'm going to catch some flack for this, which I shouldn't because my words got taken out of context. But I think that Rice is going to become more and more involved in this offense because he's proving that he can be a bigger part of this offense. And, you know, the more guys that you're able to successfully get involved, the better. And you're going to be able to beat different kinds of defenses. This year around the NFL, we've had some defenses that have come up. You know, Cleveland's got a good pass rush this year. Cincinnati yesterday showed that, you know, they can win with their defense. So there are some other teams coming up with defenses that maybe we didn't think were going to be good in that department. So we need to realize as many weapons as possible. And the best part is all of these guys are under control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You had something negative to say about Justin Ross. What was that?
Copy and paste. Copy and paste everything that I've said during the offseason.
It's ridiculous, man. Just because he hadn't had a whole lot of opportunity doesn't mean he's a bad player. I want to know what you fans think. Anybody that's listening to the show, tell me what you think of Justin Ross. Do you think he's had enough play time to actually say he's a bad player? Or do you think that maybe they're just easing him into the system? Which one is it? Because he's ranked, he's like a top seven. I think he's seventh on the depth chart right now. Or maybe fifth now because what's-his-face fell off. So we'll see.
Yeah, Philip, you're the one I was talking about who took it out of context. You want to Westward expansion? Head out west, talk about the other AFC teams and end the show?
Let's do it, man.
Okay, you want to just roast the Broncos for the next 15 minutes? Or
You know, that could be a whole show on its own.
How are you going to let a 70-burger get dropped on you, man? Oh,
hey.
I mean, that whole game was bad for that. For that, their offense. Well, actually, Russell Wilson wasn't that bad. He scored 20 points, which is fine. It was just that defense.
It took him four quarters to get to that 20 points.
First time in NFL history, an offense has 350 passing and rushing yards. They broke the NFL record for yards in a game. I mean, the damn near broke the scoring record. Anything and everything that could go wrong went wrong. You know, now the Tank Bowl is on Sunday between the Bears and the Broncos. I will be very interested to see the physicality from the Broncos.
9-6, I'm calling right now. If Sean Payton
is as good as a coach that a lot of people say he is, the Broncos will come out and hit hard. And if they don't, then the Broncos season, I mean, it's already over because they never had a chance to make the playoffs, but it's emotionally over for the team too. If they don't even have to lose to the Bears. What'll happen is if they just get dominated on the offense or defensive side of the ball, like on the line, if the Bears come out and are able to run the ball effectively against the Broncos, this team's not going anywhere.
No, they're going to be mentally destroyed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Their emotions are just going to be in the tank.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say really quick. Don't think this is going to be the last football team that does this to the Broncos. And I'm not saying they're going to put up 70. But there's going to be a lot of teams that if they're in a position to run the score up, they're going to do it. And there's only one reason behind that. And I've talked to a lot of people since this whole thing started. And in fact, I talked to someone today that is very close to that situation. Sean Payton pissed off every coach in the NFL.
Yeah, when he called out Nathaniel Hackett.
Yes. You don't break that fucking code. And if anybody doesn't know what the code is, look it up. Because the one thing you do not do is go on national television and slam another coach.
Fraternity, right? It's like the fraternity rules. You don't talk bad about another coach. That's just especially a coach that just got fired, right?
Correct. And that is something that I think we're going to see more of. And I think the other coaches probably all got on a fucking giant Zoom call and said, hey, blast this fucker because this is wrong. Look, Nathaniel Hackett is very liked within the NFL. Coaches like him. Players like him. It's not just Aaron Rodgers that likes him. A lot of people like Nathaniel Hackett. I loved his dad. His dad was a great guy. He was actually with the Chiefs at one time. You cannot do that. And when you do, you better hope and pray that you have the football team that can handle the repercussions. And he does not have that. He does not have it. When they go up against some tough teams or some even mediocre football teams, they're gonna give the Broncos everything they have and more. That's exactly what's going to happen. Don't be surprised if the Broncos don't lose by 30, 40 points at least five times this year.
That would be glorious, except for the fact that they would end up in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes, and I'd prefer if some of these good quarterbacks went to the NFC.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Although they're not going to get rid of – I mean, I guess they would just sign him as a backup or something. But he's a starting caliber right now. You know, he could come into the league and start. So I would hate to see him go there. I'd like to see him go to a football team that's actually going to – I would really hate to see him go to the Raiders because they're just killing everybody. They suck. But that is not going to be the end of – 40 burgers being put up on the Broncos. I'm just telling you, it's just not. And that's on Payton. He's not, look, man, I've been saying this since he was with the Saints and everybody said I was fucking crazy. I'm not crazy. He had a specific quarterback that he was very used to that was extremely talented, way more talented than Russell Wilson, way more talented. He had a higher football IQ. He had a better arm. He had better reads. He had better everything than Russell Wilson. He was a better quarterback. He didn't even want to work with Russell Wilson when the Broncos originally approached him because of the situation Wilson put the team in with his contract. And all of the rhetoric and the NFL talk, inner NFL talk that went around about Wilson being such a fucking diva. He didn't even want to go there. He was entertaining other teams. He went there because he made it very clear that he wasn't going to be that guy that gave Russell Wilson his private chef, his masseuse, his own medical team, his own office, and all the other bullshit that Russell Wilson got in his contract. And he took it all away. He doesn't have those things anymore. But then you come out and say something really stupid, and your rebuttal to that is, oh, I had my Fox hat on when I said those words.
Yeah.
I reverted back to being a Fox commentator. Really? Is that what you did? Or are you just an arrogant prick? Because, hey, and you know what? Karma's a bitch too, Quentin. Go back and listen to a show I had back 5-6 years ago when he was running the score up on every bad football team he played. And in the end of the third quarter, they're up by 35 points, and he tacks on 2 more touchdowns. Knowing that they couldn't score. Karma comes back and bites you in the ass, and that's exactly what it's doing to him right now. And it's going to continue to happen. Doesn't hurt my feelings.
No. I think Taylor Swift has a song about karma. But let's move on. Raiders-Steelers. That was the Sunday night game. Yeah. Raiders lose again. Who'd have thunk it? I still think that even though the Raiders – I still think the Raiders are going to be just a team that falls apart late in the year. It seems like it might be starting now. There's some more drama coming out there about their players. Davante Adams seems frustrated as a guy. He says that last year was about him, you know, proving that he could be the guy without Aaron Rodgers. And last year was supposed to be the year where they figured it all out. And now it's about the winning, and they're not winning. And he's frustrated about it. The Raiders, man. Raiders gonna Raider. I don't have anything else to say about it.
Well, I will say this, Quentin. I said this before. I said it at the beginning of this season, and I'm sticking to what I said. He will request a trade by week 8. He wants out. He didn't even want to stick around this year after the Derek Carr debacle. And another thing, and I know you remember this, I gave Jimmy Garoppolo 5 games before he got injured. He got injured in 3.
Yeah.
I understand it was a concussion.
An injury is an injury.
An injury is an injury.
I was never on
board. He put himself in that position, by the way.
I was never on board for Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought it was the stupidest thing to go from one mediocre quarterback to another mediocre quarterback with an injury history. And then to just do Derek Carr wrong like that by benching him so you don't have to pay him. I just thought that was stupid. And
yeah, it was bullshit what they did.
No, the Raiders are going to be bad, and there's not much else we can talk about there. The Raiders are bad.
Karma. Karma. You know, I mean, it is what it is. And I'm sorry, Derek Carr is mediocre, but he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, yeah. Look, Derek Carr can throw the ball down the field, will throw the ball down the field. Like, Derek Carr is a better – I would much rather have Derek Carr than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, I mean, thank God he's not – I mean, look, I've never been a huge Derek Carr fan. I thought he was kind of a crybaby.
No, the eyeliner freaks me out.
That fucks with me. I still have memes that I made about that. I mean, I've never seen – I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it is, and I don't like it. I made a bunch of memes. It's still out all over Twitter. But regardless, he's a better quarterback, I think, than people give him credit for, and he's kind of proven that with the Saints. He is now injured. He's got a shoulder issue. Thank God it wasn't major. Probably be out a couple of weeks and back in. But it's Jameis Winston, 30 for 30 is out there right now.
Yeah.
So, finger looking good, 30 for 30. That's what I like to call Jameis Winston.
That's okay. The Falcons are going to win that division anyway, so it doesn't matter.
They are. So, regardless, do we have anything else about this? Oh, real quick.
Your real quick is never real quick, so make it actually
real quick. Let's talk about something. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals.
Because we got 6 minutes, and I want to talk about the Chargers, too.
Oh, let's talk about the Chargers, then we'll talk about the Bengals. I don't have a whole lot to say about the Bengals. I have a few things, and that's it. Let's do the Chargers.
Chargers won in a nail-biter only because the Vikings can't seem to win. I told you they were a bad team, and they weren't going to make the playoffs. And the Chargers – look, Justin Herbert's the real deal, man. He's a quality quarterback. That offense – they lose Mike Williams to an ACL tear. Who'd have thunk it? The Chargers lose a star player.
I wish Brad was on this show right now.
I just I just think the Chargers are going to charge her. Like, this is exactly how the season was supposed to go. The Broncos were going to be bad. The Raiders were going to be bad. The Chargers would look good at points. They'd lose some star players, and Brandon Staley's a shit coach. Welcome to the AFC West.
You did your job. I can't say anymore. You did your job. This is the last year. If he makes it through the year for Brandon Staley, I think it'll end for him fairly quickly. He's not a good game. He doesn't call good games. Thank you.
That was my take.
I think it was mine. But anyway, he's a terrible coach. He doesn't care about his players. The organization doesn't care about their players. It's been proven time and time again. I understand why Justin Herbert signed the contract that he signed, because it's his first contract. I get that. Get paid. Move on to a better football team. Prove yourself. Do what you have to do. Brandon Staley will not be here after this year if he makes it through the year.
So, I hope he is.
Yeah, me too, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's done. I don't even know if he'll last through the year. And the Chargers are not afraid to fire a head coach in the middle of the season. So don't be surprised if they're falling in their deep, deep depths of hell by week 5 or 6 or 7, and they just said, you know what, fuck it. Let's just put our, you know, fire his ass. Our special teams coach is now head coach for the rest of the season. Don't be surprised if that doesn't happen.
Or they make the offensive coordinator the head coach, and he just becomes their head coach, because that offense last week looked really good. Now, the Vikings defense is atrocious, I know. But, you know, when you're throwing with that much efficiency, the Chargers, I almost call them San Diego. The Chargers offense was looking pretty good last week.
They didn't look bad. But they weren't playing, like, you know, the best secondary in the league, but they didn't look horrible. I will say this. I have been – and Philip, I agree with you, because we both called him on the hot seat last year. The only thing that saved his ass was him switching up OCs, and blaming it on the OC.
Yeah.
But regardless, Justin Herbert is a quality quarterback. He deserves to be on a quality football team. He is not on one.
No.
It's that simple. Let me get to this Joe Burrow thing really quick.
Yeah.
I disagree. Look, man, I'm glad he's not completely torn up yet. I have a feeling it's coming. He's lucky last week that he played a very weak defensive line, which is what he did, because all the proof was in that game. Because when you have an offensive line like his, and that defense really only got to, I'm sorry, but the Rams are not who they used to be as far as a defensive line. Aaron Donald doesn't have all the help that he used to have. He's aging, and it's not helping him a whole lot. I think Donald got to him, twice in that game? If I'm not mistaken, he got to him twice.
He got sacked twice, hit two other times, want to say.
Yeah, that's not huge numbers for a historically great Rams defensive line. That proves that their defensive line is not that good going up against a terrible offensive line of the Cincinnati Bengals. So if Burrow goes up against another football team that has a very strong pass rush, you might not see him the rest of the season. Dude, he was limping in that game.
It's bad. He's averaging 4.7 yards per attempt, I want to say.
Yeah.
The Bengals are nothing really without him. And I also am worried. Look, you know, we hate the Bengals. We don't like the Bengals, but I don't want to see a team go out like that. It's like when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Like, I don't want to see a team lose because they just lost their starting quarterback. Where's the fun in that? I want to beat you at your best.
Absolutely. And
I'm just worried that the Bengals are going to screw Joe Burrow. He just signed that long contract. And, you know, I'm just worried that calf injury can go to something else, because he's going to overcompensate on his other leg. And then let's say something happens there. I just think that he needs to sit, and you have an ultra competitive guy who feels like he can play, and there's no safety valve there for him to be like, you need to sit your ass down and you're not playing. Like what Andy Reid did to Patrick Mahomes, you know, you're going to get an X-ray and that's that. I don't care what you think. But
that's the difference between the two coaches. His coach is like, oh, you think you're okay? Go ahead. Because we don't have anybody else that can do what you can do. But you know what? He's not doing what he can do. And he's already overcompensating on his other leg. So if for some reason he's putting a lot of pressure on his other leg and he gets hammered and ends up with an Achilles on his other leg or a MCL, or God forbid he tears his Achilles, because anybody that has ever played a sport should know that when you have a calf injury that he, like he has, that is a precursor to an Achilles tear.
Yeah. That's just what, that's the concern right there. I mean,
it is. And I don't want to see it happen because he's actually good for football. As much as we don't like the Bengals fans and some of their players for that matter, I don't think some of their players are great people. They run their mouths too much, but he's good for football. It's a great rivalry. We don't want to see it go down like that.
Yeah. It's becoming one of the better rivalries in sports.
It is. So it sucks, but you know what? He's going to probably be out there again next week. And I don't know who they're playing. I don't keep up with their schedule, but if it's anybody with a decent pass rush, I really feel sorry for him. I don't know what else to say, because he's going to get nailed. Orlando Brown will let somebody by and he's going to get nailed, and he doesn't read the blitz well. He's never been able to read the blindside blitz ever. And he's continuing that trend. So I just hope that, you know, maybe, you know, they did sign a quarterback. Can't think of his name right now. They brought somebody in, I guess, just in case. And then also, by the way, the Jets just brought in
Trevor Siemian,
which, I mean, you could have went out and got a dude that played for the Denver Broncos 4 times. Can't think of his name right now. He finally retired, but could have went out and got anybody besides Trevor Siemian, but that's who they got. I don't know what he can do for that football team, especially not knowing the system, but it is what it is. Anyway, with that being said, I don't know what else we got, man.
That's the show. Make sure you join in back on Thursday night. We're going to go dive deep into the game, the Jets-Chiefs game for Sunday night. And
one more thing.
There. Thanks, Thiz, for producing the show.
One more thing. I want everybody to see this. Give me 1 second here.
We're professionals.
We are. I forgot to have this. I should have had this loaded. Do you see that? Do you see that on the screen? That is the PSF app. Go download it. It's free. It costs you nothing. You can actually be part of a live interactive gamecast and say what you want. We're going to have players on there. We're doing giveaways. It is an amazing gamecast, live gamecast that you can come on and talk about football and talk about the games and do anything you want to do. We're giving away power badges. We're going to give away a signed autograph, either whether it be a jersey, helmet, football, something to one of our power fans, or maybe two. So make sure you join and sign up with just join and then follow Chiefs Focus and follow the Chiefs fan page. That's all you have to do. It's free. Join up. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of people on. We're going to have guest analysts on, players. We've already had players on. It's going to be a blast. So make sure you join. We're doing it every week and through the postseason. And we do a midweek show, which will be tomorrow night at 6:30 Central Time. So make sure you're on for that. iOS and Android, just go to your app store, PSF. We appreciate everybody for joining. Thank you, Thiz, for producing the show. We're going to hope that continues because you're good at it and we're not. So with that being said, thanks everybody for joining. We will talk to you guys again on Thursday. Peace out, everybody.